It's go time.
He just can't help himself.
She can't.
Hi, I'm Rick.
I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm Jake.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
In each episode,
we're going to talk about everything from growing up queer in the South to the issues affecting our community today,
with a little bit of fabulous sprinkled in along the way.
Join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of queer joy,
mixed in with the occasional bitch fest,
but always served with the spiciest tea.
Hello, and welcome to Queer Magnolias, our first live edition, Valentine's Day. Our title is Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now. Today, it's Rick and George and I, and we're going to have a great deal of fun with all y'all in the live audience.
Live.
Jesus Christ, I hope we don't fuck it up.
Yes, that's what happens with Mr. Right often.
Exactly. And lo, they were sore afraid, Dan.
Yeah, ain't nothing been sore lately. That's the sad part right there.
Well,
I'm gonna have to invest in a
rollaway.
I don't
know if I could say that. Sorry.
Well, that's you, hon. I'm gonna have to invest in a rollaway bed.
Does that mean there's been some action over at Casa Rick lately?
I don't have a comment.
Well, honey, then you shouldn't be on a podcast.
Well, you know what I always say, honey. With Mr. Right, you can plan a future, but with Mr. Right now, you need to plan your escape.
Well, now that's the gospel truth.
That's a good one. I've never heard you say that, but apparently you always say it.
I do. I say it quite a bit.
You know, it is always important to know where the exit door is, just in case.
Girl, they should. They teach you the first time, minute you walk on an airplane, they let you know how to get out.
That's true.
Where is the safety card for this marriage? I need to know how to exit.
Exit right now.
Exactly.
Right? Bye-bye, y'all. I used to say to a guy every now and then when somebody would actually stop by, I'd say, honey, do you remember the door you came in?
No.
Just find yourself on the way out, but don't take anything. Leave it, because I know what's mine and what ain't yours.
Dan, the people you've had in your life.
Well, you know, if I was comfortable enough for them to go out on their own, I was okay with that. Uh-huh. If I had to get up and show them the door, I'm like, oh, honey, don't come back.
And was this Otis or Sweet Potato or which one of your relatives?
I don't do relatives. I'm afraid they'll want to get married, you know.
Well, it's a small town. It's a very small town in North Carolina.
That's very true, honey. I tell
you
y'all.
You might call it a village.
Well, it is a village. You know, I tell you, y'all know how I am. I'm sort of like that line from the Golden Girls about what is it, not playing hard to get. I can't believe neither one of you took the bait. Honestly,
I'm like, Rick, what?
Rick, you were reading your phone and you missed the Golden Girls.
That is rude, Rick. That is rude, Rick.
And I mean, it was a Golden Girls quote, and neither one of you got it. George, I can't believe you didn't get it either.
That's why I feel like maybe you butchered it a little.
It's not Golden Girls, though, darling. It's actually still Magnolias. She's playing hard to get, and at her age, she ought to be playing Beat the Clock.
Okay, that is true. I had Blanche on the mind, but it's true.
Blanche is never a bad thing to have on the mind.
I agree. I totally agree.
Beat it, you 50-year-old mattress.
Exactly. That's probably what I should have thought of right there.
Especially since today is Valentine's Day.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say it was mattress beating day.
Today is rollaway mattress day.
Right? I could use one. Oh.
Well, who's on their phone now, Miss Thing?
I am, because it turns out we are not live on Instagram for some reason. Hold on. Maybe we are now. It says go live. What? Oh, for heaven's sakes. Hello. Are we live now, Wally? You know, this honestly, this modern
is going great.
This modern technology is just running right by Dan every day of the week. I'm still trying to figure out how to make a slideshow. If anyone in under God's green sun knows how to make a slideshow, please help, because I've tried 87 YouTube videos and none of it works.
Well, I can confirm that we are live on Twitter because Aaron is watching and commenting, but I can't see the comments on my side. So, Dan, you'll have to share.
Right. First, Aaron said,
oh, wait, I see it now. Hold on.
You're live on
air. Details where it didn't happen. Yep.
Yep. So we're live, Aaron. So it turns out we should be live on Instagram as well now. I'm telling you, when I hit the button, oh, I got a thumbs up from Wally. So when you hit the button, it turns out it works.
Oh, look at that.
I mean, you know.
The same button she told us four fucking times to make sure she hit.
Right? I went right to Instagram and hit the button, and I didn't hit it hard enough.
The problem is, Dan, you didn't mash the button.
You didn't mash it. That's exactly the truth.
If I'd mashed the button, it would have worked.
Exactly.
Mash it.
So what do you guys feel about Mr. Right or Mr. Right now?
I feel like I know exactly where Rick is going to land on this conversation. I know exactly where he's going to land.
And where is that, darling? Share with the class.
Predict for us, George.
I feel like she is a Stop and Shop girl.
That's what like Tuck and Roll, except you stop and shop first before you tuck and roll. I see how that is.
And sometimes it's the Quickie Mart.
Get in, get out, girl. Get in, get out.
Exactly.
Oh, honey, I love it.
Sometimes you just need
they don't expect breakfast.
Exactly.
I mean,
you set up that little TV tray by the door with a little tiny little box of cereal and a little to-go thing of milk. And be like, just take that as you go onto the bus.
How about sugar? Right.
To the bus.
Right. So I will say that the majority of my life, I have been waiting for Mr. Right, but I feel like that fucking stopwatch from 60 Minutes is right up my ass at all times. So at this point, I'm going to take whatever comes along. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand that for sure.
I feel like Mr. Right is kind of like a really fine wine, but Mr. Right now is a lot more like a shot of tequila. Something quick, intense, and often regretted next morning.
And it's funny because over the years I really did wait for Mr. Right, and then when I saw he wasn't coming along, I did what the Bible says I wasn't supposed to do. I threw my pearls before the swine, every swine that came along, you know. So it was a lot of fun though. While I was waiting for Mr. Right, I had a lot of fun.
Well, I think that's the important thing. I think that, you know, we can wait for Mr. Right, but Mr. Right now is a great opportunity for perfecting the technique.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, practice. It's a practice. It's a dry run. We call it a dry run.
Honey, we've never done anything dry.
I was going to say that.
I'm sorry, George, who's texting now, darling? I can see you.
Well,
look at these people giving me shit for being on my phone, and both of them on theirs.
Sometimes we put notes on our phone, things we want to mention to you. You know, I guess I should start just writing them on my hand.
And then do this.
Exactly. This. What does this say?
I said this about you, bitch.
Exactly.
Right?
I said what I said.
Oh, Jake is here. Hi, Jake. Happy birthday, Cam.
Happy birthday, Cam.
And happy Valentine's Day as well.
And happy Valentine's Day. Yes.
So what do y'all do to prepare for a date with Mr. Right?
Well, first you got to find him.
Wait, Mr. Right or Mr. Right now?
Well, let's talk about somebody you think that's Mr. Right. Would you be nervous or would you be confident?
Yes.
I would be nervous. I don't know if I can remember that far back. It's been a minute since I've had a first date.
Well,
I mean, honestly, a first date, that's been a long time.
Well,
first dates are nerve-wracking for me, but I think actually first and third dates are nerve-wracking for me, if I remember correctly.
Out on the second date, so obviously it's
not. Well, exactly. I know what I'm doing on the second date.
Well, yeah, third date, there's performance anxiety because you got to live up to the last time.
Right. I'm like, oh, shit, I did that last time.
Did you stick the dismount? How did that work?
Well, that's the problem. I did not land the dismount.
Exactly.
Mm-mm-mm. So would you put out on the first date with somebody you thought was Mr. Right?
Would I?
No. Nope.
You wouldn't?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Oh.
But wrestling in the parking lot's different.
Well, that's Mr. Right now.
Very true. But how do you know?
Well, so that's a
great question.
I did. So I went out on a real date, an honest to goodness real date, with somebody that I had the maddest crush on.
In 88 to 99.
No, it was actually here in LA, shocking of all things. And I now know a lot about him, but I when we got to that point on the first date that I thought it was potentially going somewhere, yes, because I had such a mad crush. I said I didn't want to, because I wanted to go out on another date and, you know, sort of prolong this joy that I had built up in my mind. Mind you, it was a fucking disillusion. But anyway, it was all this, and I did not get a second chance. And I sort of wish I had just, you know, boned him then, because it was like, oh, darn it. But I did learn a lot about him later on. I probably wouldn't have been able to, because I wouldn't have been able to financially support him, which I've seen a lot of other people do since then. So,
oh, honey, never learn their last names. That ruins everything.
Oh, so now, George, you brought up something. Have you guys ever been on a date and maybe even gone to first, second, third base? And Aaron said we're not supposed to put out on the first date. But have you gone all the way and then wondered what their name was?
God, yes. Often. Yeah,
that's definitely happening. I was thinking about this whole, like, obviously this topic today, brushing my teeth this morning. I was like, so what am I going to talk about? Because, like, I've not had a lot of one-night stands, a lot of, like, Mr. Right Nows. Like, I've not had a lot, because usually, like, I'll meet some Mr. Right Now, but then it'll turn into something that lasts a little while. But there was this one guy who I met at a sushi restaurant. I was there with a friend. He was there with a friend. We went home with them back to this guy's place. We, you know.
Oh, it was that kind of party, huh? I see.
It was that kind of party, you know. He wore his socks and his watch like about 10 minutes. I never saw him again.
Preach. Preach.
But I think I did kind of regret sleeping with him the day after, because I don't know. I just, you know, I think there's a little bit of that day after remorse, because it's like, what did I do that for? You know? Like,
oh, no. So I know what it really was. So anybody who doesn't know George, let me say, his socks were dirty. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
His sheets. He didn't have a fitted sheet.
Oh, so that's a problem right there.
I wouldn't get out, no. Get out, he wouldn't have made it to the next morning. Get out. No.
I did not make it till the next morning. I left. Like a lady.
I agree, honey. You got up your petticoats and you went on home. I approve, darling.
Exactly. I'm taking my Martha Stewart basket on out of here. Goodbye, girl.
You do not.
I'm taking my towels, Martha, and my sheets. Goodbye. Exactly.
I said good day, sir.
Gots to go, honey. Gots to go.
So, yeah, I think that, like, you know, for me, obviously, this was when I was younger. I feel like, you know, there was a lot of remorse or guilt, I think, about being hooking up singly, like just being a one night thing. Yes, exactly. And here's what I think, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I think it has to do with growing up as a kid in the
80s. You're a whore, darling.
I'm trying to justify this, Rick. Shut up. I think it has to do with growing up in the 80s as a kid and Reagan and everything that was going on, and how, like, you don't sleep around, you know?
Well, and I think that's a very valid point, George, and I'm going to be serious for a minute. So you grew up, hush up, Rick. George is 10 or 11 years younger than I am. I've lost count. So it's somewhere
in there. It changes all the time.
Well, I'm sure it does with Rick. That's for sure, honey. Trust me. Time marches on, but never his age. So, but the thing is, I think that when you grew up in the 80s, coming of age in the 80s, there was AIDS, and there was so much stigma around that, as well as there perhaps should be, because it's an insidious disease that affected so many people. I'm a bit older, so just a bit, hon, 10 or 12.
Just a wee bit.
Just a wee, hon.
10 or 12 decades.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I think that for me, I came out through the sexual revolution type of the 80s. I think everybody thinks it was the 70s, but I think the 80s were probably a lot more wild and randy than the 70s were, at least I think so.
Randy.
Randy, wasn't that nice on the episode? I threw in a word there. Did y'all catch that? Who catched the Randy?
That's our hashtag for this episode, Randy.
Randy, huh?
It makes me think of Preacher Randy.
Damn. Well, I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't mind that anaconda at this point, Mr. Right Now.
Lordy.
Rick, you've been very quiet this episode.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I've been very quiet. I actually was thinking about this episode and this topic this morning as well, George. And I was like, what do I want to talk about? And then I kind of got to the space where I'm like, well, where are you in your life? And I think I am at the point
upstairs
where...
Upstairs from me, I think, right?
Well, there's that. But I'm at this point where for a very long point of my life, and I feel like I've talked about this a lot, but I've done for a long point in my life, I've done the Mr. Right, the relationship, all of that. And then I've had this nice little stretch where I've done Mr. Right Now. It hasn't been about relationships. I'm just enjoying myself. I'm enjoying what happens, and it is what it is. But now I'm kind of coming back to, I'm reaching a certain age. And yes, I said it. I won't say what age, but I am reaching a certain point in my life. Shut up.
No, reach
Dan,
out.
Dan, I'm going to send you to the waiting room. I'm going to send you to the waiting room, Dan. Goodbye.
I wish you in the cornfield, honey.
It's my link. Go ahead, honey. Try again.
Try again.
Where I kind of want to go back to Mr. Right. I kind of am looking for that guy.
So. I would love to see that for you. I think that would be cute. I mean, unless I hate him, then I'm gonna make your life hell.
then he's in.
George and I will be over there sewing a voodoo doll. Bang, 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 bang. You know,
he has to pass the friend test without a doubt. Any person coming into my life has to pass the friend test. Because I'm not giving up my friends for nobody.
Exactly. I think that brings up a very important point. So for all of us, what happens if you meet someone and they don't pass the friend test? I think I agree with Rick, because I'm like, my friends are so important to me that I really want us all to get together. It doesn't have to be a love fest, but I need at least an acceptance fest. George, yeah. What do you think?
Well, I have led with my heart in the past and have found myself.
It's not rice. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right.
You know, and I found myself with people in the past that I've been in relationships with who have not really appreciated my friends the way that I appreciate. And they may think that some of my friends aren't the best influences and et cetera, et cetera.
That might have been me. Hey, wait, that might have been me. I had fun. We had a lot of fun, didn't we, George?
We still do, sweetheart.
We do, darling.
You know, and I still have the friends, and I don't have the relationship anymore. So what really lasted?
Well, and I do want to say, because this is something that I've said to George's face, and sometimes behind his back, and sometimes on the podcast. One thing that I love about George is he manages to move away from a relationship into a friendship zone that I was not raised like that. I still want to throw daggers and stab and shit like that. So my hat's off to you, George, because I think that's a rare quality that a lot of people do not possess. I think that's a unique thing that you're able to say, okay, I'm not going to hate you enough.
And do you do that across the board, though? Is that 100% across the board? Like, are you?
No.
Are we having an earthquake? What's happening?
Do you feel no, that? Rick, you just, your stomach's rumbling, sugar. That's all. That's all.
All right. I feel like shit's shaking. All right.
No pun intended.
Speaking of this right now.
Right.
Right.
But do you have that relationship, George, with every single one, or what's your batting average?
No, I think I am friends with
okay me. I'm feeling the shaking.
It's a helicopter, honey. We live close to the police department. They're looking for you, Mary. They're looking for
I gotta
you.
Turn the lights off. I'll be back in a minute, y'all.
Or you know, your next door neighbor is getting lucky. It's Valentine's Day.
Make me a cocktail, sugar, while you got the lights off.
So no, the answer is no, not 100% across the board,
right. Okay, because so my batting average is about 50-50. Yeah. I feel like half of the people that I've been in relationships with ended amicably, and the other half, they should probably not come within 100-mile radius, or someone's going to die, and it's not going to be me.
Agreed. Agreed.
I like that. All right. So now let's talk about growing up in North Carolina. What kind of expectations do you think that we inherited from our environment? I mean, I can say for myself, I thought I should, you know, have a 2-story house behind a white picket fence, and everything should be hunky-dory and loving and kind. I never saw myself as a child getting married. And I also never, as a child, I always saw myself being single, but yet I was instilled with that idea of a 2-story house with a white picket fence with someone. Do you think that that's, did we learn that because we were exposed to, you got to get married and have a family, or do you think that was just me?
Well, I think that the heteronormative ideal is all that anybody knew back then.
Norman Rockwell, yeah. Family, right? The nuclear family, as it were. And I don't know. It's interesting. We joke a lot, but Danny is older than us, but there's not a lot of time that between me and Danny. And so me growing up, though, I did see myself as married very early on. I don't know that I had words for it, but I saw myself in that relationship very early on. And then it became more about not so much the relationship, but it was like, I think when I started to learn coming into high school and, you know, hearing the hate and where we grew up and a lot of the language, I started to feel a little more ashamed of it. Okay. And so it's taken me a long time to get back to the other side of that. I know when marriage equality first came to the forefront, I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that it was very rooted in sort of how I was made to feel about being gay growing up in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little bit to work through that and be like, this is exactly... It took me a while to get to the point where I was like, oh, this is actually what I used to think about when I was very young. Like, oh, what would it be like to own that house with a white picket fence and live with the man that I want to be with for the rest of my life? And before I had words for it, and before I'd heard other people's words for it, I guess. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm rambling.
It does. It really does.
It makes 100%. I totally agree. I think the biggest thing about that is what we're able to see. If you saw yourself with someone, I think that's magnificent. I think I remember thinking that she's nice, but I don't want to live with her the rest of my life, whoever her was. It wasn't one person. It was just in general. And I felt like I was on the outside looking in. I wanted to be in whatever I was seeing, but I didn't know how to do that. And I don't blame any of that for where I am now. Still a single bitter bitch. That's me over here, hon, you know? And I'm not bitter. I'm actually really happy because in the mornings
she's
when
bitter.
She's
bitter.
And that's okay.
It's okay. No, I think so. I need some bitters, but you know what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say that you're bitter because you're single, but trust me, she's bitter.
Oh, now I think I might have to remove you from the feed. Okay, I do know how to do that at this point. Lord, I couldn't punch the right mash the right button earlier.
Mash it out. Mash it.
So, Dan, I do want to add to your little picture perfect ideal of what it was going to be like when you grow up, because, like, you know, I think we all kind of maybe had some very similar ideas, and for me, it was a 2-story Georgian colonial. You know,
yes. Did you have pillars in the front?
Of course it had pillars. Of course it had pillars.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
be ridiculous.
12 oaks, baby. 12 oaks.
Azaleas, you know, dogwood, all of it. And my husband was going to have acres and acres and acres of broadleaf tobacco. We were going to be wealthy.
Prominent.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that either. So everybody knows George grew up close to Wilson, North Carolina, where it was a tobacco capital.
It was. And
so it was like, you know, tobacco was like cotton was 100 years ago. Cotton was king. Tobacco was king when we were growing up. So Not Rick says anymore. He worked in the fields. I will pay
$100. I worked $100. At 12 years old. Starting at 12.
Right now, I will pay $100 for any picture of Rick in the field, and maybe there are no pictures, a lot more than that.
And there's no one left alive.
Damn, she is old.
Oh, well, right?
Thorough.
Just a little younger than me.
So all I right. have a question.
Yes, darling.
Do you consider yourself a Mr. Right or a Mr. Right now for other people?
That's a great question.
Right now. I don't think I'll be honest, because, you know, we're here on live. I should be honest. I really don't think I've progressed enough to understand how I could ever be Mr. Right.
Oh.
And I think that's sort of some of how I grew up. I'm not feel sorry for Dan. It's not about that. I think I'm being very serious. I'm not really sure I know how to be Mr. Right. I come with so many preconceived notions about what I want and what I want and like and don't like, that I think that I miss the picture of how to be Mr. Right. Mm. So maybe, does somebody write a book about how to be Mr. Right? I mean, you know, I could do that song Out with Dan, or maybe we could do it on Quills and Chills, because this is Mr. Right. What Rick, about you guys? Rick, your turn.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. So part of me says that I want to be Mr. Right, but I kind of feel like I've got so much shit going on that I probably shouldn't be cursing like I am now that we're live, right?
But anyway, you guys should go on,
there's so much stuff going on that I feel like I don't really have time to do anything other than to just be, how about right now?
Yeah.
So,
George?
I came to the realization not so long ago that I am the man that I want to marry. So I'm Mr. Right.
Oh, honey, I love that.
I love that, actually.
Yes. You know, so maybe this is something we should explore again in this season of Queer Magnolias. What does it take to be Mr. Right? How can you share with us? This is for the audience. Share with us what you think it takes to be Mr. Right, and what do you look for in Mr. Right? Because it's, you know, I think for everybody, it's
and pictures are okay.
You can share pictures. You know, OnlyFans links I'll take, you know, just we'll so I can them. Understand exactly what's going on. So, you know,
I need a visual. I'm a very visual person. Cece is a very visual person.
And I will come in and say that it doesn't have to be Mr. Right. It can be MX Right. It can be MS Right. It can be any of the rights.
Yes. Well, and I think that's a great thing that we have learned in our evolution of Queer Magnolias, is that there's a Mr. or Ms. Right, or whatever that is, or what'd you say, Mr. X Right?
MX.
MX Right. So there is some of that for all of us. And there's not just one box or one right thing to check off. And fluidity is so important. Perhaps one day you like this and perhaps one day you like that, and that's okay as well. And I celebrate that. I do wonder, I think everybody that looks at me says, oh my God, he's the most masculine bitch I've ever seen on earth.
That is exactly what they
say. That's exactly what they say.
That's the words. Those are the words that come out of everyone's mouth.
Right. I mean, I'd like some comments on this, please. I mean,
that's what I thought when I met you.
I mean, he's butcher than fucking John Wayne. You know what I'm saying? So
Aaron made a comment that I absolutely love, and I just want to share it. He said, for me, Mr. Right showed up when I least expected, and he's talking about John. And I think that's very sweet. So
I do.
Congratulations and happy Valentine's Day, Aaron and John.
Yes, absolutely. We love you guys.
So, you know what? We're running a little long, but I'm going to ask one more question.
You got 55 seconds. Go, girl.
Shush up, bitch. Shush up. I'm running this, not you.
Don't forget the 15 minutes that actually weren't live because we weren't on.
It was only two, stop. George. Don't be that person. So what about, I love you, Aaron, and I like that. But what about the pressure of don't expect Mr. Right to come along? Because I think that's something that I had in my past. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, don't expect something to happen. It just happens. But it turns out that at 60, a lot of organic shit did not happen. So you guys have any thoughts on that?
I stopped expecting anybody to show up for me a long time ago. I learned I need to show up for myself. And so that's kind of where I live first and foremost every single day. If someone shows up, they're happy to walk. I'm happy for them to walk beside me.
I think that's right.
But I'm happy for them to walk beside me, but I'm never going to have someone leave me. So there's never, I'm never expecting anyone to show up and
complete
or save me. Exactly. Right. I've got it. I got this. I got this. If I don't have somebody for the rest of my life, I'm good. Trust me, I'm good.
Right.
But if you want to be there and I want you there, I welcome you heart and soul.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like that. George?
I think I'm just going to quote Charlotte from Sex and the City or paraphrase.
Of course you are. I love it.
Of course I am. I've been looking for Mr. Right since I was 14 years old. I'm exhausted. Where is he?
Honey, I love Charlotte more than I could ever say, honey. I know I'm much more than the other one, but I like Charlotte. So, you know.
Yep. I feel like we can all relate to that.
I totally agree. And the thing is, as Rick said, you got to be happy with you. You got to be happy with yourself or else you're going to be miserable.
Well, okay, RuPaul.
All right. Well, there is that. So in George's Aunt Lucy's words, my ice cubes are dry, Randolph. I think we have to end this live.
I think you're right.
I had such a good time, guys. This happy Valentine's fun. Day. Love the two of you and love the audience and see you guys soon.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Bye, everybody.